Okay. Now we have this morning's topic is going to be about meat. I'm going to be your nutritionist. I don't want to be your nutritionist because I would give you some wrong ideas, because if I tell you how to eat the way I eat, I don't know how you'd live or survive. But not that I eat bad or anything, but I eat whatever I decide to eat and the way I eat and how I eat. But this morning is, what is the meat you desire? This is what we're going to talk about. I think anyone would agree that meat is food. I like getting into the real philosophy of things. So, different kinds of food means different, but all being in the same category as meat. Okay, if we look at it that way. When we talk about meat, they don't always necessarily mean meat. Okay, so when the Bible talks about the meat, we're understanding it's food. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to see and know. Okay? So John chapter 4, look at verse 31 to 34. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now, we understand meat being food. We understand that there's many different kinds of food, all being in the same category. And also is what we labor for and we sustain. We go to work every day to make meat, make money to buy our meat or get our food. We have to do this. We labor for it. Mm-hmm. Every one of us. Doesn't matter who it is. Now, whether you're a vegetarian or one that eats flesh of animals, you still need meat to live. Okay? And when I say meat, we're talking food. Because reason why when people go into the Bible, they get in there and they get into the different version of Bibles, and they'll probably call meat something else. I don't know if they do or not. I haven't really paid attention to go and look in there. But we understand meat being food, something to keep you alive, because there are vegetarian Christians and there are meat-eating Christians, okay? And neither one are condemned of God. Bless God, give him thanks, whatever you got in front of you, and eat it. And if it crawls off the table and you can't catch it, well, hopefully you don't get too hungry. But, you know, there's certain things, but, you know, all things are to be given the thanks, but we don't have to get too much detail. The world revolves around food. It's true. How do I know? Simple. No eat, we all die. So the world does revolve around food. Okay? We cannot live without food. That's my great deduction of things about meat. Now, without going into great detail and going into great things, we also know that people will do anything for food. That is something to understand. People will do anything for food. Food is very precious. You control food and you can control people. We cannot live without food. There's none of us here can live without food. You can go so many days, but eventually you will die if you don't get food. Whether you live a month, 6 months, a year, I guarantee you somewhere down the road you will die without eating, because your body needs food. You can say, well, I can just live on water. Water will not sustain you. You will die. You need food. You need meat. Whether it's vegetables or whatever it is, you need it. Now, the reason why I say people will do anything for food, Esau was so hungry, he sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Turn with me to Genesis 25. I want you to see this little thing about Esau. Genesis chapter 25. You going to read with us this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've seen the Bible sitting there. I was just kind of wondering. We had a spare one there. Oh. Okay. Genesis chapter 25. Look at verse 29 the 34. Everybody likes those Bible tabs. Ain't they wonderful? You can find things so easy. I loved it. I loved it when I was first starting out because I couldn't find a lot of places, but I sure can now. Genesis 25, look at verse 29 to 30, I think it's 34. And Jacob sawed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So people will do anything for food. Now, it seems like, well, that's really not that important in that. Well, Esau was so hungry he had to have food. And whatever he had, whatever he figured to get it, he would do it. What do we do to get food? And what do extremes do we go to feed ourselves? People will kill, they will murder, they will steal. You hear a lot of stories, and I always find these stories quite something, about the fellow who went to jail for so many years for stealing a loaf of bread. Because he was hungry. So we understand this. Natural food for the natural body, and that we need food to live, and we need food to survive. So the world revolves around food, and people sometimes will do anything for food. And they will resort to anything, and they will eat anything. A lot of these exotic foods were not because they were good to eat, is because people got so hungry they started eating anything and everything. So a lot of these exotic food, these snails and all this stuff, it all came from people who were desperate to eat. Okay? And like I said, when you're hungry enough, you will eat anything. And it's true. You'll eat the very leather right off your belt. People will cook their clothing. When the fellows were hungry in the wars, they used to take their belts and they would boil the leather on their belts to put something into the stomach because they know they needed something in order for them to live. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says this. Look at verse 13. Meats for the belly, and belly for the meats. That's what you have a tummy for. God shall destroy both it and them. Okay? Now, we don't have to go too much further than that, because we don't need that. We're looking at food. Now, but what is the food that Jesus was speaking about? So everybody said, "Well, that's silly. I know that. I know you know that." The food that Jesus was talking about was spiritual food. He says, "I have meat that ye know not of." And they're saying, "Did somebody bring him something?" And they're looking around. Jesus mentions that his meat is spiritual, as it is the Word of God. That is his meat. Matthew chapter 4. I like how God takes the simplest things and shows some of the greatest truths. Matthew 4, look at verse 4. We read this so many times, but we see this. And we should see this in this light. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered, said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You understand this now? That's not how you live. You cannot live by bread alone. You desire food, you need food, you need food to survive. But understand me, and all you look at me here, and look at me for 1 second. You need more than just food to live here. God says man cannot live by bread alone. That's not my words, it's his words. Why does he say that? There's an important reason. Now understand, you cannot live in this world just on food. You want all kinds of nourishment and all kinds of good things and the best health foods and all that. Well, as much as you get in this life, it will come to naught. Belly for the meat, meat for the meat. God shall destroy it all. There's a time coming when it won't be. So you have to realize that is the Word of God, the spiritual meat to which we need to eat also. We need that more than anything. Look at the next part of the verse. But every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that is how man is to live by. Now, also remember, it's not just what you want from His Word. It's kind of like a smorgasbord or kind of buffet. You go on there and you pick what you want. I don't like that. And that's what a lot of Christians do. We go there and we go to God's Word and I only like this part. I like sweets. Love, 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 love. Happy, 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 happy. Joy, 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 joy. That's what some people like. They only go to the dessert pile. The joy of the Lord. Well, joy of the Lord is a little bit more than just... But, you know, they like the happy. They like all the blessings. And they like to go to the treats and all that. And they go all to the blessings and everything else. And that's what they go after. But you need everything. How many times you get mad at your children? You can't live on candy. You can't live on sweets. And a little kid looks at him, yes, I can. We need natural food along with spiritual food while we are in these bodies of flesh. Without going into great detail, there are two kinds of spiritual meat out there. Now understand, there's good food, just like the same thing as there's natural. There's good natural food and there's bad natural food. Okay? We find some foods which we say, you know, you got to stay away from this stuff. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. It'll plug you up and do whatever and it'll just do it. Also, it's the same thing in spiritual. Now, the reason why I say this is because when we go down this a little further, we have to understand, good spiritual meat comes from God. Bad spiritual meat comes from Satan. Mm-hmm. So you got that? Okay. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, look at verse 2 to verse 5. He says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in the gardens, burneth incense among the altars of brick, which remaineth among the graves, lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of the abominable things is in their vessels. Which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. I understand this because when I was first saved, and not that long after, the Lord started showing me things about the things that His people were eating. And they were eating grains and stuff like that, all infested with all types of bugs and insects. And it was terrible looking at that. Like, if you went in there and you poured a bowl of cereal porridge and you seen everything crawling around in there, you just, ugh. Well, this is what some people eat. Then also he showed me also a frying pan. And inside there was all types of rodents and all that. And they were fried and they were all kind of melted. And look, oh, look terrible. You could see what they were. And he said, this is what my people eat. And I start to understand something about the spiritual food to which we eat. And also, that there, in the spiritual realm, there is meat. Just the same as the natural. You have natural food and you have spiritual food. You have good food and you have bad food in both realms. There are churches out there that eat their own bread. And wear their own apparel. And say... Now, if they're eating their own bread, eating their own food, it is not God's word. You see, these people who get like that and eat swine's flesh and broth and abominable things think that they are self-righteous. They come to the holier than thou. Where did they get this from? Satan thought he was all powerful, so much better than God. Mm-hmm. Comes from him. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 4. You see the big desire, not so much the big desire, but the urgency of us walking with Christ is not just going to church. What's the point of going to church if you're not going to get God's word, get his good word into your heart so it makes you strong? I don't want bad word in me. I don't want bad things in me. I don't want bad food. I know when I eat bad food, I suffer for it. Anybody here does not suffer over bad food? You know, you sit down and you say, oh, I shouldn't eat this. Now I feel horrible and all that stuff. But God's word is good and it benefits you, blesses you. It lifts you up. It strengthens you. But look, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. In that day shall seven women take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Today we have those who are giving heed to seducing or accepting seducing spirits. Isaiah 4, verse 1. Now swing with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now this one I've read multitude of times. And many, many times over places. I mean, 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1 to verse 2. We don't have to go very far. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, giving their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now I want to ask you this question. I'm going to kind of leave some of this stuff here because I really didn't go, and I want to tie this all together. And sometimes you wonder what I do here, but how I do go about things, but that's the way I do it. If natural food is taken to your body via the mouth, in other words, that's pretty much how you get all your food, how is spiritual food taken? Your heart. Your heart? Yeah. That's where it ends up. Job 34. There's something here that... Something here that you probably just probably knew but never saw it like that. Job 34. You know, you take things to the mouth and spit it out. Here's how you take it spiritually. Job 34, verse 3. For the ear trieth words, and as the mouth tasteth meat.
Right.
What you hear, if you like it, you let it come into your heart, or we call spiritually the belly. Okay, figuratively speaking. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when received, it enters the heart, is eaten, is accepted. Okay? Isn't that how it works? I think so. So when they gave heed to seducing spirits, they were hearing them, listening to them, and accepting them, and swallowing it. Okay? This is how we take in our food spiritually. You are judging what I'm saying. You are listening to what I'm saying. Now what you will do with what I tell you and what the Word of God says, you'll do one of two things. I won't accept it, or I will accept it. If you like what you hear, you take it. If you don't like it, you shut it out. Even if it's good for you.
Yeah.
I will put the good food in front of you, and I'll put bad food in front of you, and I guarantee you, if I put candies and treats and junk over there and other good foods there, you'll go. Majority of the people go chasing the treats. Human nature. Okay, because the body likes evil things. And you can be addicted to good, and you can be addicted to good, you can be addicted to bad. In other words, your body can crave things that are bad for you, and it want it, and you'll go and do it, because you figure that's what you want. Mm-hmm. Okay? But go and have a bad piece of food is God's not going to hate you over it. Okay? Getting yourself messed up into such a thing where it becomes your only desire, that's when it's bad for you. Okay? Going out having ice cream or having a chocolate bar, God doesn't care about that. We're not talking about natural food. Okay? But we want to know is spiritual food, and spiritual food which is good. Jesus said his body is the spiritual meat for us to eat. John 6. So you understand how you get it spiritually now? Your ear's a little eater. Little mouth. Mm-hmm. Say, well, I knew, yeah, you knew that, but you just really didn't know it like that. So it just kind of clicks now. That's where you take it. This is why you have to hear the Word of God. By hearing the Word of God, it brings forth faith. If I preach to you doubt, and doubt enters the heart. Okay? So it's important, what? That you get good food. So when you accept something and you listen to somebody, you want it to be good. And you don't want it mixed up with bad stuff. See, when people are listening, if they're listening to another spirit, they're hearing something. Okay? Now, if you hear, get a thought, it's the same thing. You're hearing it. Seeing it. Your sight is what? That which you like, that's what you sense. It's like a sense to which, like a taste or a smell. If you don't like the smell of it, you're sure not going to eat it. True? True. So if you don't like it, if you look at it and you go, ooh. Majority of people, when they look at something, they don't like the way it looks, because presentation has a lot to do with how you receive it. Okay? And I can mask up something looking very wicked and evil and mask it, make it look really good, and I could sell you that bill of goods, and you'll eat it and figure, oh, it's really good for you, and it'll kill you. Okay? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this, but we're getting the point. John 6 now. Now let's go in here. Now we're going to run in the race here. John 6, verse 53 to 58. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. You had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that which you heard, and accept him as Savior, enter into your heart, and then you believe from the heart and saying, yes. Just like your stomach says, yes. Your heart says yes. And that yes is faith. Okay? Spiritually speaking. Just kind of give you some idea. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread, that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So that is the bread to which Christ would have you to eat and to live and to receive. We understand this because of a simple reason. God said we cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now God says, here is what I've given you. I've given you a body to eat. Partake in the things of Christ and eat of it. And when you eat of it, it benefits you. It gives you life. And anything that gives you life is healing, restoration. We who are spiritual, born again, need to eat spiritual food, and that spiritual food being the Word of God, the body of Christ broken up for us on a daily basis. Daily. You can go without natural food for long periods of time. But we need, for in other words, to sustain ourselves, we need spiritual food always to sustain us. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said his body was broken up for us. And this is why when you come to church or you come to a study and you're given things, it's kind of like taking a portion of that of Christ Jesus, of his body, of his word, and given to us to eat. If I try to stuff the whole thing down your throat, you choke and die. Okay? Matthew 26, verse 26. And I think it just goes to verse 27. No, 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And the cup, and he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, and saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That is the meat that we are to eat. That is the meat to which we need to live by. We cannot live on natural food alone. Now, turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, meat, and dwelt among us, Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it was made flesh and for us to eat. We partake and eat of the body of Christ. When you read the word, you are eating and partaking of Christ. You are hearing, you are seeing that word. You should be receiving it into your heart and accepting it. The only way one can receive and eat this meat from God is by believing and accepting into your heart that precious word. That's how we receive it. See, when you come together in Christ or you come to the word, your heart should be open, your ears should be open, willing to listen. Some people have a tendency, I'm not saying yourselves, but even people that are going to listen to the CD and that or whatever. They're going to shut out whatever they want to shut out. For the simple reason, they don't want to accept. But the only way we can grow in Christ Jesus, accept into our hearts that precious word. John 1, verse 11 to 13, says this, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him," receive means to accept, means to eat, okay, we're talking spiritually, so I think we understand that. "To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." If you don't eat, you have no power. If you don't eat, you have no strength. If you do not eat, you lose your strength. Understand? We all understand that. We know we got to eat every day. If we don't, we just lose our strength and lose our strength and lose our strength. If we feed the natural man, he becomes big, becomes strong, whatever. Okay? If we don't feed the spiritual man, he becomes weak. We have to feed the spiritual man. Okay? So this is, if you look at this, and you look at this in the analogy which Christ is showing, because not only is he showing about eternal life, he's also showing how you are going to grow and go forward in Christ Jesus and become strong. You got weaknesses? You can overcome them by the word of the living God. It is power. It is life. If you receive it into your hearts and begin to walk in it, you have victory. Yeah. If you reject it and don't eat it, you can't win. Mm-hmm. And I find so much fault with so many places today is that they are not eating the word of God. They're eating their own bread. I like my own bread. I know everybody likes their own way. Everybody likes their own food. So, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Those that did not receive, did not eat, nor partake of the heavenly food. Okay? Now people read that just about salvation. Well, receiving the word of God is not only about salvation, but it's also to sustain yourself. It also goes without saying, if you do not receive the word of God and walk in it or believe it, then you're not partaking of heavenly food. If you do not do the will of God, you are not eating. It's that simple. John 4. John 4. Look at verse 34. It says, my meat, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So what is your meat? To do the will of God. Anything opposite is not meat, not spiritually of Christ. Now, we all must labor for our food. Whether we work or beg, we labor for one way or the other. Whether you sit all day begging and hopefully people, and begging is a work. Say it's not a work. It is a work. Go out there and do it. It's hard work to make people look, feel sorry for you. It's true. Professional beggars know how to get you in a way. Huh? John 6. But no matter what, we have to even go out on the street, or we have to something in order to get something, is what I'm saying. We all labor for our food. Now, which food do you want to labor for? Jesus said, verse 27, John 6, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Say, well, I got to work. Well, I know you got to work and make a living. That's fine. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, make it that the most important part of your life. Because remember in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. While we are in these bodies, we have to eat. We have no choice, and God knows that. He's not stupid. But what is most important is the Word of God, making that the most important part of your food. More than your necessary food. Making that the most important vocal point. In other words, you know, if I don't eat today, is not as important getting God's Word and walking with Him and doing what He says. To walk and have that spiritual food. That's what I need. That is most important. Okay, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we make the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And if you believe on him whom he hath sent, why do not you believe that which he says? Because it's all the same thing. You see, I can tell the people what they're eating. I can tell what people are eating by what they walk in. In other words, I can tell your spiritual condition very quickly. There's no rocket science here. The Word of God says these things. What are you doing? Simple. And I can tell where you are and what you're doing and what you're following, what you're eating. Simple. Just the same ways a nutritionist can look at you and say, you know what? I know your deficiencies. Or a doctor can look and say, I can see things in you. I see where you're not having such and such. It's like a certain person when he was just trying to be a vegetarian, he was starting to lose the colors in his skin and all things like that. You knew something was wrong right away. You can tell. But spiritually, if I just looked at you and say, well, unless I can see some visible things. And you could see some people, well, I know he's got problems. Look at him. He's all crippled up. He's sick. He's diseased. And all, you know, no, you don't know. But there's people who look perfectly normal, look perfectly well, that you cannot tell their spiritual condition. But if you know certain things, it's not hard to figure it out right away where they're at, what they're doing. The very doctrines that you walk in declares the meat you have accepted or eaten, and it tells where you are. You are what you eat. It's true. So, you are what you eat, and it will come out what you are. John 7. They gave heed to seducing spirits and followed their ways, and by the very actions and the doctrines which they walked in, said so. That's how it all comes down to. Like I said, there's no science, no hard figuring things out, but just plain simple biblical truth in Christ Jesus concerning food and meat. John 7, verse 16, 18 says this, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that has sent them, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. In other words, Jesus said, if I came producing myself and showing myself and pumping myself up, he says, you would accept me because you're the same way. This is why some people do not like those who walk in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit. This is why Joseph's brethren did not like him. The Bible says we are to desire the sincere milk of the word so that we may grow. We need to grow. We need to be healthy. We need to be strong. Just like the mother says to the child, drink your milk so you will be strong and healthy. Eat your vegetables, you'll be strong and healthy. The Word of God says you must do this and you should believe this. You should walk in this so you'll be strong and healthy Christians. And we say, because we're adults, I don't think so. First Peter chapter 2. You see, when people say they're doing the will of God, you'll see the very character, the very things that they do shows which will or what they are doing, what they're eating, every time. The Word of God is not complicated. If you're walking with Christ, you've got to be doing the things of Christ. If you're walking after the flesh, you'd be doing things after the flesh. If you're following seducing spirits, you'd be doing what those spirits tell you to do. And it'll show forth and it'll go contrary to the things of God. How do you think people got into self-righteousness? Satan's self-righteous. And pride. We're better than you. Where do you think that comes from? 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1 to 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You tasted it. Then desire it. And as you grow and walk deeper in the things of God, doing his will, not your will, nor the will of man, your eating habits change. And you begin to what? Eat solid food, eat meat, stronger things in Christ, spiritual gifts. Start working harder. Works of faith, not works of man. The works of faith. We're talking spiritual now, okay? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Look at verse 13 and 14. Hebrews 5, verse 13 and 14 says, For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. This is where you tell where people are. Verse 14, But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They have what? Power and strength to stand and able to do things in Christ. Those who are grown. And you know this for a fact, that you cannot just live on milk. You just can't live on fluids. You need solid food. Truth and light coming into your hearts concerning the Word of God should be good food to make you strong. You find this kind of believer in Christ doing the Word of God, and the works of God are the product of it. It shows forth by what? In other words, you are what you eat, and what you eat, and what you think, it says forth, and it tells what you can do. And it shows, and it becomes a testimony. James chapter 1. James 1, look at verse 21 to 25. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So it says receive, in other words, you've got to take it in. Mm-hmm. Take it in. The engrafted word, which is able, what? To save your souls. But be ye doers of the word. In other words, if you do it, you've eaten it, you've accepted it, you're walking in it, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. People who tell me that they're doing the works of God, they're doing the things for God, and they're not doing what the will of God is, you're lying through your teeth. And I say that sincerely for the simple reason that you turn around and look at the Word of God and look at the will of God. Am I doing what the will of God is saying, or am I just pretending? Pretending is lying. Now, we can pretend to do things, it's all well and good, but we're standing here talking of living reality, saying, I am walking with God. This is a real pretense of a lie for the simple reason you are saying this is true. If I go and tell you a fairy tale story and everything else, and I tell you it's a fairy tale, you all understand that. It's terrible when we do that. For verse 23 says, for any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso look in the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Doing the will of God from the heart is your meat. Is it not his desire for you? Is not that the desire which you are to do? We desire all kinds of things. We are supposed to desire his spiritual meat. We do it from the heart. Some like to do opposite of what the Lord Jesus wants them to think, and think that is their meat. They go against the word and offer their own works, their own meat, like as Cain did. Remember, he offered the fruit of his labors. If he's offering the fruit of his labors, this is what he partakes in, this is what he eats. I labor for natural food. I expect to get food. I work and get money, which is natural, to go and buy me natural food. That's what I labor for. If you didn't have to work for food, you wouldn't work. It's true. Now, we understand this. He ate that which he labored for. And was it accepted of God? God rejected his labors of that fruit to which he had, which said, this is what is to be eaten. Because you partake in the very labors of what you do. In other words, you eat what you work for. Now turn me to Genesis chapter 4. Now if Jesus said his meat is to do the works of God, then the works of man is meat also. Because it is not, is in the natural. He labors and thus produces food for his soul. If we look at that in an analogy, in other words, in a way to which we're getting at. Now look at Genesis 4, look at verse 3 to 7. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desires, and thou shalt have rule over him. You see, here's something you have to understand. The works of God are good. The works of the flesh is sin. And that meat is death to all that accept it. You see, when I go and labor for food and I work for a living, I don't go this and try to throw this in front of God and say, you must accept what I do as acceptable unto you, whatever I decide. Christ is our Savior, therefore it is His desire, His will to which we fulfill, and that is should be our meat. If I turn around and offer Him something that is strange flesh, something that is contrary, God won't accept it. Cain was rejected by the fruit of his what he had. He brought the fruit of the ground, whatever he had. And I'll get there when we get on that. And yet Abel offered a sacrifice. Christ, his faith. Something that was what? Not of this world. To speak. Now, turn me to Jude 1. There's only one Jude anyway. And there's only Jude 1. Now, you get this in your heart, what it's going to do for you is you're going to do the works of God. You're going to look to do the will of God. You're going to eat good meat. You're going to grow good spiritually. And you're going to go somewhere for Christ. Look at Jude. Jude. And we're going to read verse 11, 12, and 13. Now watch as I read here and see if you can catch this. Jude, verse 11 to 13. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What was that? Sin. They have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You want to eat rotten fruit? Want to eat rotten things? You don't eat from them, because what everything they're doing is totally gone what? Totally wrong. They've gone after the way of Cain. Greedy after the error of Balaam. Now verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So we start to see what manner of spirit is in there. Now, think about this. When the works of God are substituted for the works of man, you have very bad food, spiritually speaking. Brother, what shall we do to get to heaven? You work hard and you'll get there. Or you believe and you will get there. Two kinds of food. Both accepts what is told them. To which one receives the best benefit? Matthew 16. When the works of God are substituted for the works of man, you have very, what? Bad food. Because why? We're trying to offer that which is natural to be spiritual. Okay. Matthew 16, look at verse 6. I think it's to 12. Matthew 16, verse 6 to 12. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it ye do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they They, how that he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And that was the dangerous thing. Now, what did they teach? They taught doctrines of commandments of men and not the word of God and his ways, which was not good. Matthew 15. Verse 1 to 11. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. You're not going to go to hell for not washing your hands before you eat supper. Nothing. Okay, now verse 3. But he answered, said to him, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father and mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, and verse 6, And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. In other words, he's not obligated to honor his father and mother. That's what they say. Thus ye have made the commandment of God non-effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and sent them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Because out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. And what's in the heart is important. What you hear, what you receive. What were they doing? They were making what? The word of God null, non-effect. In other words, that is not the bread you have to eat. Jesus said, My meat is what? To do the will of him that sent me and finish his works. What you say is what you do. It's true. In other words, what you say is what you do. In other words, what you believe is what you do. What you walk in is what you do. Whether it's for or against the Lord Jesus. You say, well, we could say one thing and do another. No, that means you're a hypocrite. In other words, it'll show forth. What you say is what you do. But remember this, who do you think is behind the thinking of man and not doing the works in the will of God? Devil has food. He's spiritual. He's trying to get you to eat his garbage all the time. Infected all of mankind with it. He gets you out always contrary to Christ. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 21 to 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. It was really smart. Verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It is important we do the works and the will of God in spite of all things. It is our necessary meat. To think contrary wise is from the enemy, and that food is not good. Don't listen to him. Do not sell yourselves for the works that perish and do nothing for you. Look at Matthew 16. Look at verse 24 to 26. Why do I say this? Simple. You're going to pick up your cross and follow him. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Remember Esau? Mm-hmm. The very thing that was the most important is the very thing that he sold. The most important thing you're going to find in your life in this world is Christ Jesus and his word and doing the will of God. Because you want to know something? You get rewards for your labors. And if you labor in the flesh, the only reward you're going to get is natural flesh labor, whatever it is, it's going to be natural. But if you labor for that which is in the realm of the spirit, you'll be rewarded with the heavenly. There's a big difference here. My meat, in other words, my labor, my work, everything that I want to do is for Christ, for the simple reason there is where I get my benefit, in the realm of the spirit. Now, I want you to think about this. I wonder what kind of meat we are giving to the needy today. The true things of God, which is the real meat, or humanitarian works. Works of the flesh, leaving the heart in the lost state. His belly was full. That's the only difference you left them in. We get into the humanitarian. Now, the reason why I say that, there's nothing wrong with giving somebody poor and somebody who needs something and help them. But if you think that's rewards for heaven, forget it. God causes the rain to come down upon the wicked and the righteous. Does it mean God loves what the wicked are doing? No. If you go out and do humanitarian works and think that's the works of God, leaving the heart the same way he was, only thing is you'll probably have is a full belly and clothes on his back. But what good is it going to do him? Okay? Yes. Change it right now. Swing in Matthew chapter 25. Okay, you got to stop there. Stop the bottom. Put it on pause. The double bars. Okay? Is it going? Okay. You got the squiggly lines? Yep. Okay, great. Matthew 25, look at verse 42 to 45. Now watch what I'm saying here and you'll see it. He says, "For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty," Matthew 25, verse 42 to 45, "for I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." You gave me what? No meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. We're talking spiritual. We're not talking natural. Everybody gets on the big kick and let's all get out there and feed the multitudes. Feed the multitudes. That's wonderful. Feed the multitudes. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's wonderful too. That's very good being humanitarian, but if you think that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're mistaken. How did Jesus feed the multitudes? By a miracle. Now, watch. He says, "I was naked and you clothed me not." Now, what's he talking about? Putting on the clothing, the natural clothing, putting it on somebody. Oh, I feel really good now because so-and-so is clothed. Sick? Prison? Person, you know, the people, they all run down to the jails. They want to go down there and have a ministry to all the prisoners. How about the man who is sitting in a suit clothing who is a prisoner to the very thing to which has him in bondage? We don't see that. He said, "When saw we thee?" They need spiritual food that saves, heals, delivers, and sets free, and covers you up when trials and tribulations comes, and they will come. You need something that's going to cover you, that's going to protect you. You know, you need the asbestos suit, but I don't know if there's any asbestos suit that can withstand nuclear. But we have what? The righteousness of Christ and his robe, which is able to sustain us and keep us through everything, even to the very end. See, we try to pass off natural food as the meat that Jesus was referring to, and it's not so. We try to pass off humanitarianism as being the wonderful things of Christ. We try to pass off a social structure for people. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you come to church, you know what God's going to show you? Your sins. He's going to show you how to set you free. Why? Well, which doctor brings his patient in, sits him down, and sends him back out the same way he came in? He'd be a nut. Now, why do you think the preacher should be standing there and doing that very same thing? Bring you all in and send you all home the same way? No. You should feel uncomfortable when you come to church. Your sin should be hit at you. Our conviction and the very thing, what? We got to be brought to Christ. We got to be brought into righteousness. We got to be set free. You know the charge the Lord laid to the church? The pastors? Keep your fingers in Revelation 3 and go down to Ezekiel chapter 34. We tried to clothe the poor and the destitute with natural clothing and saying, this is the Lord's desire for his church. We figure we go and build a church in some God-forsaken place in the middle of nowhere and figure, this is really doing the work of God. I'm teaching my children how to serve Jesus by sending them on these missionary trips all over the world. You lie like a dog. The only reason why you do that is you don't have the guts to stand up to your children and tell them the fact you've got to get straightened out. And you don't want to what? The confrontation. So you want to get rid of them for the summer because you don't have to deal with them. That's the only reason why you want to get rid of your children and throw them on these missionary teenage journeys. And you got to pass it off as the things of Christ. Pass it off as a missionary work for Christ. And pass it off as what? It's just a bunch of garbage. So we go out and build the thing there so we really feel good. Oh, geez, we really built a church for that and a school for that place. And those people are really going to be blessed of God. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and build my churches? He says, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. What meat are we talking about? Potatoes and onions? You don't need a bag full of money to go preach the gospel of Jesus. You can stand in the jungle and preach Christ and win souls. Because you know what? When you defeat the enemy and you set people free, guess what? It brings them to Christ. And gives them what? Real meat, real food. You want to know why? Because belly for the meat, meat's for the belly. They'll all perish. The only thing that's going to be standing left in the end is the word of the living God. And anybody that's in that word are going to live. Anybody that's not in that word are going to die. I think that's how it works. Ezekiel 34, verse 1 to 5. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Greedily after the error of Balaam is what they wanted, money, 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 money. And the only thing we get on TV is the preacher, bummy, money, 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 money. My God, if that's all we got to preach about and we're care about, we got a problem. Why? Because doing the works of Cain. We figure we need money, 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 money to get the gospel going. Gee. Verse 4. The disease ye have not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. What? It's nothing worse, nothing more cruel to throw the works of the flesh to try to get you to heaven. Instead of the true grace of God, that's the best thing for you, is the true grace of God. That gives you life. That gives you encouragement that your Savior has saved you. You belong to him. Even in your shortcomings and your failings, you still belong to him. If I got to work to get to heaven, well, I'm going to give up today and I'm just going to go live like hell the rest of my life because you want to know, I ain't going to make it. And that's a word of a fool. That's a thought of a fool to think like that. We have to see that. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Yet is this a church of Christ that has need of food of clothing? The church of Christ needs it. There's something wrong with somebody who's going around saying, we're doing all these wonderful things and we're doing so well for Jesus. Well, Jesus says, not so, my friend. Look at Revelation 3. I got a real kick at some of those countries saying, you know what, we're going to send preachers, missionaries to America because they need the gospel. This is what they're saying, and I don't doubt them. Some of them from third world countries are coming to America for the simple reason, we missed the boat here. Why? They see we're in a bigger jam than we are ourselves. We can't see ourselves. We just get up in the mirror on the wall. We are the best of them all. And that's what our attitude is. Look at verse 17 and 18. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. If I have goods, I have food. I have food. Goods. All kinds of goods. Goodies. And have need of nothing. And thou knowest thou art wretched, miserable. I tell you, aren't you miserable when you don't eat? Honestly. You could be a bear. You get up after. I need food. You just see the fire coming on the eyes. If you don't eat right now, there's going to be people's limbs ripped off and eaten right now. Huh? Esau was at such a point where he had to eat. Now people figure, well, he was just hungry. He was starving. He was what? Faint. You know what happened to the people of God when they're in the wilderness? They fainted. And they would not enter in because of disbelief. Unbelief. So look at the next part of 17. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Sounds like somebody here don't have much for them. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Why? Because you're eating the meat which is not doing you any good, and that's your condition. Jesus, I eat meat that you know not of. My meat is what? To do the will of him that sent me and finish his works. And yet every part of it tells it that they were not doing it. Say, well, how can that be so? Well, one way is we probably robbed God. I look at one way saying that God's been robbed in tithes and offerings. That's why we have no meat in our houses. We substitute with fillers. You know, that's what happens with people. If you want to cut down the consumption of the food, you just give them fillers. Stuff other things in there, so. From garbage. Just like Jeroboam did to the children of Israel. When the kingdom was split, he reared up Baal so they would have a place to worship and be fed. This is what's been charged. God has charged us with. Malachi 3. There is the hoarding of the monies or the funds that go to the churches, to little kingdoms, little individual ministries. Or another place is, it's not brought into where God says his storehouses are to be. They forsake the Levite in their gates. Every way you look at it, we find that we're not listening to the Lord, and therefore we're not getting our proper food. And we're suffering. Malachi 3, verse 7 to 10. Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. You know, when you go and you buy your food, you buy it with money. God says you got to buy it with obedience to what the Word of God says, in faith, doing your tithes and your offerings. And the reason why a lot of them are sitting down hungry is because they did not pay the things that they are supposed to get for God. And therefore, there's no meat. And some places don't have any meat. Squandering it or storing up that which is not meat. And using the Word of God and using the money and the funds that God gives for all the other extravagances or whatever. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We're called of God to give out meat and feed the people. Our meat is do the will of him that has called us and saved us, to feed the hungry with the good word of God. Salvation, healing, deliverance, life, joy, love, and power over all the power of the enemy and all the blessings and promises of God that come with it. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Turn with me to Luke 4. Who cared more about the poor than anybody? When Jesus was on the earth, he cared more about the poor? Okay. So we should spend all our money on the poor? Judas cared about the poor. He was mad because the ointment that was put upon Jesus could have been sold for a lot of money and given to the distributed to the poor. True? So Judas cared about the poor too. He was a thief. What did he care about? Humanitarian. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who are those? Those that have no claim to this world, but the thing of the life of Christ Jesus, of the kingdom of God, which is not of this world. We are poor in this world. The poor in spirit. But look, Luke 4, verse 17 and 19. That's another teaching in itself. Luke 4, verse 17 and 19. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." I think it has something to do with the works of God and the will of God. And that's how the poor receive. You're poor if you're going to a lost eternity. You're poor if you're sick. Dead people don't have money. People who are living in this world who have all the money in the world are totally dead and they are totally broke because they cannot buy. The richest man in the world cannot buy his way into heaven. Yet the poorest man can afford it.
First-class ticket.
Amen. But think about this, God's will. His will for the Son is also the Son's will for his brethren. Mark 16. Our meat is to do that which he has given us to do. This is why spiritual gifts and all the blessings and promises of God are important for us. It's our meat. Strong meat. Good meat. Oh, when you eat that meat, you get to do wonderful things. You get to kick the devil down the road. You get to walk upon the necks of your enemies. You get to have victory. You get to win people to Christ. You get to get them back into what? The saving arms of God. You give them real food, real meat. When you give it to them, they are clothed. They might be standing there naked in the natural, but my God, they're clothed in righteousness in heaven. And they're standing there with royalty robes. I think that's far more important than what we can throw on people out of a secondhand clothing store so we can feel good. There's no question of whether we feel good. question of whether we do the right thing and God is approving what we do. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Mark 16, verse 15 to 20, it says this. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Because why? They had good food, they've eaten, they're strong. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere the Lord, working with them, confirming the word with signs, following. Amen. And I think that was what? The works of God. Jesus said, the works that I do, shall ye do also. We can go on and on and on, and it all comes down. The same truth flows all the way through the entire word of God. As we receive direction and revelation of his will, we must obey it and do it. We do the works of God by preaching faith in Christ and the forgiveness of sins, and the signs that follow declare the works of God and not of man. And thus it shows you've labored for the right meat, you got the right meat in you, and you're doing the right thing, and you're going to give out the right thing. Praise God. We're to encourage those who come to Christ to walk with him. Come and eat and drink from the Spirit of God. Revelation chapter 22. What is the meat you desire? My meat is to do the will of him that called me and sent me to do the works of God until the end. Amen. That's what I've been, and that's what I'll always do. That's what you've got to do. You know why they all came to Joseph in Egypt? Because Joseph had food. Because you want to know something? They'll all have to come to the same place. Amen. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely and receive it. And if you receive it, it'll do something for you. Amen. Let's eat that good meat that God has given us and walk in it. Amen. Praise God, Lord. Lord, we just do thank you. We thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for your truth in your life. Lord, asking you bless this truth and teach everyone that hear and walk in it, they may glorify you and honor you to that which you have called them to do. Lord, that their meat may be the same meat that was in the Son's. And because, Lord, we know that if we eat and partake of the body of Christ, we will do the same things because it will be according to him, because that which is of him. And we just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.